Sifu, what is the monk in the painting behind you? So that's the monk in the painting behind me. Now that painting was painted by a painter who passed away last year at the age of 96. Feng Jiewen. For about 20 years, he had been regularly attending our freehand style painting gathering for 20 years. About 10, 15, 17 years ago, 10 years ago, we used to have regular gatherings for lower mainland Chinese painters to gather here to do freelance painting. That's why we have so many paintings. All these paintings were from that gathering. If you go out and buy these paintings, it would be very expensive. But they were painted by people, impromptu painting, by lower mainland famous artists. They used to come here every first Sunday of the month. So this was painted on site within 1 hour. It was completed within 1 hour. And then he painted a monk sitting by the ocean side, on a more or less on a cliff, you know. And after he painted it, Mr. Chen, who passed away 3 years ago at the age of 94, all these painters and calligraphers, they live long time. They have longevity. After he painted it, the calligrapher need to put words, Chinese words on it. Usually that's the style of painting. And then he asked me. At that time I was relatively younger than them. They're all 70, 80s. And I was at my 40s or something. And I was not, I'm still not a painter. And he said, what should I put down? What poem, what gutter should I put down there? There's a monk meditating on the ocean side. And then there's also waves, cliffs, and pine trees. And I can see the waves up and down. And then I thought, maybe that monk, it's Avalokiteshvara, meditating on the ocean side. So I immediately recite that poem, and I said, why don't we do it like this? It says, 动静二相了然不生. So I said, well, put those four, eight words in there. So he put those four words in there. So I think there's no one who can explain this painting other than me, because I participated in it. Nobody else can. I wanted people who look at the painting to realize that that is Avalokiteshvara practicing on the ocean front, meditating. And when the waves come, that means there's motion. Avalokiteshvara, this monk, was meditating on the ocean side. And what did he meditate on? What did he use to meditate in order to get realization? He meditated on his hearing faculty. You can meditate on your hearing faculty, you can meditate on your smelling faculty, you can meditate on your tasting faculty, you can meditate on your seeing faculty. So he was meditating on the hearing faculty. And he says, oh, this wave's coming. Wow, this wave's coming. And this wave's receding back, going back to the ocean. So it becomes quiet. When the wave rushes on shore, rushes in. When we rush on shore, there's a lot of sound, and it's disturbing. But you meditate on the sound. Where does the sound come from? You meditate, and it gets into his ears. And meditate on the hearing. So when it gets, it's disturbing, gets into his ears, and then immediately he wanted it washed out, getting away. It gets into my ears, my hearing faculty. I don't retain it. I don't want to retain it in my faculty. I don't want to say, just as I mentioned to you in the meditation, I don't want to say, it's a disturbance. It's terrible, roaring sound. I don't like it. It's disturbing me. I can't do my meditation. I don't like the sound. No. The sound comes in, it goes through the ears, the hearing faculty, and he allowed it to go out immediately with no retention, with no attachment, in and out, in and out. So when you meditate, here comes the noise, the ocean. First, the tide rushes in. For that reason, after practicing this in and out, he did not retain anything at all in his hearing faculty. It's pure emptiness. Motion and stillness does not come anymore because there's no motion. He does not recognize this as a motion. He does not recognize it as a stillness. So, 动静二相, just motion and stillness, the two phenomena, 了然不生, have not arisen. Motion and stillness have not arisen. So, if you practice like that, no retention, no attachment, then you train your mind not to attach, then whatever comes in, it goes out. Whatever goes through the senses that you attach to, it comes out immediately. Can you prevent them from coming in? You cannot. You cannot kill phenomena. You can only let phenomena do what they want to do, and you don't mix with it. It's just like there was a poem, 百花, 从你过片叶不留声. When you go through the bushes of flowers, not a single petal is on your shoulder. You're going through all these bushes of flowers and leaves, but after you've gone through it, not a petal, not a leaf land on your shoulder because you don't attach to any of those. Can you do that? When we go through bushes of flowers and leaves, oh, worms and everything crawl on the back and all these leaves and all these petals. But in this case, no retention, no attachment, no motion, no stillness. What is motion and stillness? Motion and stillness is duality. We live in a world of duality, of discernment. This is motion, this is stillness, this is hatred, this is love, this is tall, this is short, this is rich, this is poor. You discriminate people, you discriminate. You analyze and discriminate immediately without being taught to do it, you discriminate. So, what is that monk in the painting behind me? Avalokiteshvara, when he was a monk, he was practicing meditation on hearing faculty. Now, what do we learn from this? If somebody criticizes you unreasonably, or your family members yell at you, cursed at you, or when you're driving, your next driver was yelling bad languages at you, you don't respond by being mad. You just let it float out, in and out, in and out. No retention, no anger. Can you do that? Or you have to respond. I have seen people who fight in the road, two cars. They get down and they actually fight in Toronto. Yeah, because of yelling and cursing. So, who is this monk? Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, meditating on a beach, on the ocean side, meditating on the hearing faculty. You can meditate on the hearing faculty too. Next question, what does the idea of non-duality mean? I just said it. Duality is in, you discern, you analyze, discriminate, you attach a label to things. This is rich, this is poor. I dislike this, I like this. We always live in in a world of labeling things, stereotyping things, stigmatizing things. The stereotyping, the stigmatization, and the labeling, all these come from what? Come from dogma, come from doctrines, come from opinions. And those could be dogmas, opinions of somebody else. So you are living, you're trapped on those dogmas, and you're living in as a result of somebody else's opinion, because you have been educated that way, or you've been brainwashed that way. So what do? We should live in a world of non-duality. That does not mean that you don't judge. If you live in the world of duality, you don't discern what is good and what is bad, and what is tall and what is short, then you become a senseless person. No. You just don't attach. You still can analyze, we just don't attach. In other words, your senses do not attach to the your six senses do not attach to the six environs. Eyes do not attach to sight, ears do not attach to sound, nose do not attach to taste, tongue does not attach to nose does not attach to frequency, and tongue does not attach to taste. And the mano does not attach to mental objects. And if you do that, then the seven consciousness is being confined. The ego is being confined. He can't exercise anymore. As time goes on, he becomes weaker and weaker until he's disintegrate. No more ego. But if you exaggerate all your six senses, the ego is exaggerating at the same time. And we all do all these things without we noticing it. We don't notice that we don't notice we're arrogant. We don't notice that we are cruel. We don't notice that we are selfish. We don't notice those things because they're so innate in our personalities. Unless you really train yourself, you have been trained not to act, to behave that way. So it's important to listen to the saints saying and teaching. It does not matter what religion, as long as it's an authentic religion, it's a religion that does not preach violence or sacrifice. So if it is a religion that has good doctrines behind it, it's better to have no religion. Okay, the last question. Since we are with an ego, there must be a purpose for it. Does the ego not play a role of keeping us alive, the survival of humankind? There must be a purpose for it. Everything has a purpose, has a cause. You have that ego because you germinate, you cultivate that ego, because you wanted that ego, because you wanted that ego to go through the suffering. It's not a natural purpose. It's not a saintly purpose. In other words, you don't say that, oh, God, create me with the purpose of an ego. That ego is cultivated by you yourself. There must be a purpose for it. That's hopefully we get rid of that ego. That ego pulled us down. That ego is responsible for us going to that ego prison. There's a prison for an ego, you know. You go to prison for that ego. Does the ego not play a role of keeping us alive? Yeah, the ego play the role of keeping us in the ego prison. Yeah, it plays a role. It plays a role to keep the inmate in the prison. If you want to say, oh, that's the purpose. Okay, good. So I want that role to be played. So I want to play that role of being a prison inmate, living in that ego prison. Feel free. Adios. See you later. I'm not going there. I try to get out from there. I don't want to be in the ego prison. So does that ego play a role of keeping you in that prison? Yes, it plays a very dominant role to keep you in the ego prison. If you prefer to be in the prison, you just befriend with him and carry on. I don't want to be. Is it the survival of humankind? It's the survival of reincarnation. It's the survival of suffering. It's the survival of mental afflictions. If you want to carry that kind of survival, be my guest. I'm not a host for that though. So I'm not going into that kind of survival. I want to get away from those mental affliction survivals. I want to get away from egoistic survival. I want to get away with that because that's the cause of suffering.